You're listening to The Back 40, the podcast for Ontario farmers, covering topics and issues that matter most to Ontario agriculture. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm the host of The Back 40, Mike Brine, agribusiness specialist at Trillium Mutual Insurance. Probably one of the biggest frustrations that livestock farmers face. They go in and they flip a switch for the automation and run the feeders full in the barn or to make feed, and they find out there's nothing coming out of the auger. And you go outside and you check the bin and it's empty. Anyone who's looked after livestock has run into that problem. And we all know that that normally happens about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and you're going to scramble to try and put some feed together. If only there was a way that we could get away from that. Well, one company in Ontario has done something about that. Bin Sentry is a company that looks after the monitoring of the levels within the bins. And today we're talking with Randall Schwarzentruber from Bin Sentry. Randall, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's an honor to be on the program. I've listened to some of the other podcasts and they're always entertaining. So hopefully we can live up to that same standard today.
I don't have any worries about that. So where did the idea for this come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of years back, about 4 years ago, I was working as an automation programmer in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. And my sort of responsibility was setting up automation, programming it on behalf of customers all around the region, which one day took me to a local feed mill where I met up with the owner there. The owner disclosed to us that he had this problem on his mill that he needed a, in quotation marks, techie to solve for him. And so he looked at us and must have figured that we looked nerdy enough to hopefully tackle his problem. Basically said that the problem he faces on a daily basis, which is a problem that literally every mill around the world faces, is basically a question of visibility. They don't have visibility into how much inventory remains on the farms in the feed bins that they would deliver to on a daily basis. And being sort of an industry that obviously depends upon having good information in order to plan and prioritize production schedules and deliver efficiently, not having visibility into that inventory inside of the bin caused them to have to operate reactively essentially all of the time. Whereas sort of the gold standard, if it could be achieved, would be for mills to begin to operate proactively. If they had the ability to know how much was inside of feed bins, then of course they would use that data and potentially change the way that they make decisions at their mill to operate more efficiently. And that's exactly what they are after. So this feed mill owner basically said, this is the problem we face. And as far as I can tell, there's no solution out there for that problem. Being a problem solver at heart and a bit of an entrepreneur, this type of challenge obviously piqued my curiosity. But at the same time, I was sort of a little bit naive. And I distinctly remember my response to him was, come on, there's got to be something out there that solves this problem. So I promised him that I'd go home that night and spend a little bit of time on Google. And, you know, being the good automation company that we were, we would get back to him shortly with the solution that he needed. And so that night I went home, assuming I would spend 5 minutes on Google looking for a solution. You know, in 4 hours of searching, I didn't actually find anything close to the type of solution that he was after. So those people who are in the industry will know it's not that you can't monitor how much product is inside of a feed bin. There's things like load cells that have been around for years, and there's lots of other methods that you can attempt to determine how much product is inside of the bin. But as I listened to this particular feed mill owner's problems, I realized that probably what would need to exist to solve this problem well in a way that was scalable and cost-effective, you would need to have a technology that sort of fell into the area of technology or the category called Internet of Things, which is a very quickly emerging category of technology that's sort of facilitating this industry 4.0 evolution around the globe, whereby you utilize sensors, low-cost, low-power sensors, to gather data about parts of your operations in hopes that you are able to optimize them. And so that's kind of where we set out. We recognized that there was a problem there. I recognized that an IoT sensor or Internet of Things sensor would be the right thing to solve it. And that really is where Bin Sentry's genesis was found, is in talking to that feed mill owner who said, listen, if you can help us to solve this problem, we'll definitely buy the thing. From there, I guess the rest is sort of history.
So did the sensor actually exist out there, or did you have to go and design something from the bottom up?
That is a great question. I wish Well, no, I don't wish that the sensor did exist, because now we're in a really unique position where we are, in fact, the company that really built a first of its kind in the world. We hoped that that sensor would have existed. It would have made our journey to where we are today a lot more simple. But ultimately, what happened is I began the process of attempting to understand exactly what the challenge was that a feed mill was trying to solve, what all the various parameters were of that challenge. Why has it not been built? Why has a sensor to monitor feed effectively not yet been built? And as I began that journey, I began to sort of understand that there were a number of things that have made it really difficult to solve this challenge. The inside of a feed bin is obviously very dusty, which causes the vast majority of sensor technologies to be rendered inoperable after a very short period of time. You need to have an effective way to power the device. And because a feed bin is generally located outside of a barn, it's more costly to run power out to those bins. And so that makes it somewhat impractical and more costly to install sensors. On top of that, you need to have a way to send data from that bin. And so you need to have networks that are able to handle that data transfer, whether it's a hardwired network or a cellular network or a wireless network of some kind. And all of these things made it just a little bit more difficult to solve this problem effectively. Then on top of that, just finding the right type of technology to actually use inside of a bin was challenging. So we sort of looked at this, and I think probably in the early days, there were at least 250 iterations of our sensor, literally at my kitchen table. And in those early days, I was sort of going to work during the day and coming home at night and figuring out what sensors had arrived that day that I would attempt to piece together into this like duct tape and hot glued together sensor in quotation marks that I was trying to build. And then, you know, attempting to test that in whatever way I could and change the programming on it to see if we could get something that worked. And finally, I would say about 8 months into this iterative process of trying to figure out the right combination of, you know, technologies, wireless technologies, sensor technologies, microprocessor technologies, I finally had something that I thought was going to solve this problem. And so it was in April of, I think, 2017 that the poultry producers in Ontario have a big gathering, a big conference in London, Ontario. And so I took my duct tape glued together solution to this trade show and kind of wandered the floors hoping that someone from a feed mill would be willing to talk to me. And sure enough, they were interested, but also a little bit skeptical. So I kind of explained to them what the goal was, and was trying to sort of find some people that would be willing to work with us in some capacity to continue to test this thing and get it into feed bins. And as it turns out, one of Canada's leading mills, certainly one of Ontario's leading mills, expressed a good amount of interest in moving forward and helping us to test this, as did, you know, one or two others. So we were able to get some of these things into feed bins early on and continue that testing process to validate that what I had built was going to work. And it was at that point in time that we fell flat on our faces and realized we were nowhere near actually solving the problem. But of course, that was a great learning. At Bin Century, we've always looked at failures as an opportunity to learn and improve. And so we had lots of those types of opportunities over the course of our testing with some of those early customers. And ultimately, the conclusion we arrived at is that if we were going to solve this, no combination of off-the-shelf parts was actually going to work. And it was at that point in time that we recognized we're going to have to get a lot more creative and innovative if we're going to solve this problem. Some of the testing that we were doing was indicating the direction that we should take to overcome those challenges. And in the end, we ended up building our own custom LiDAR sensor solution with a built-in self-cleaning mechanism, Internet of Things networks, wireless networks to send data. It's a solar-powered device. In the end, we ended up building something extremely cost-effective, completely self-sustaining, doesn't need power other than the power of the sun. And we managed to build something that we could install in feed bins in literally less than 15 minutes without modifying the bin. It's a byproduct of being willing to fail an awful lot. Going back to the very beginning here, the reason why I think that in retrospect, that's such a good thing is that it means that anyone else that would want to follow in our footsteps and attempt to compete with us is going to have to go through all of those same lessons. You build up a wealth of knowledge and experience and learnings over, you know, that many instances of failure that ultimately position you for success in the future. And that's certainly what we believe the journey has equipped Bin Century with so far.
That's a long way from a 5-minute search on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah. If only it was that easy. I mean, Bin Sentry wouldn't exist today, more than likely, if that solution existed when I did that search. But here we are 4 years later and now selling our solution around the world. So it's certainly something that the industry has been waiting for. And I think that we're doing a pretty good job of solving that problem in a way that the industry agrees is the right way.
There's a lot of frustration on farm when the bin runs out. I know, and I kind of joke there, it always happens at night, but I was making feed on farm and it wasn't that unusual. And at 8 o'clock, you're dragging a hammer mill out to go and make a batch of feed that you know you're not going to be done putting that away till after 10 o'clock. And then you still have to feed the pigs when you're done. And the frustration there is one thing, but when you start talking from a feed mill's standpoint, everybody says, well, if you can build one, I'll be very interested in it. A lot of people out there may not understand what are the costs to the feed mill of not knowing what they've got out there as on-farm inventory.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I might also add one more qualification to your statement that the feed always runs out at 8 or 9 p.m. And the qualification is it always runs out at 8 or 9 p.m. on a Friday before a long weekend. That's what the feed mills tell us. And that's the problem they're trying to solve. I mean, I can understand it. I know lots of farmers. We've had the privilege of talking to lots and lots of producers around literally North America as we've built this solution. And there's a lot of things that producers have to worry about on a daily basis. And feed is one of hundreds of them. Thinking to go and pound on the side of your feed bin with the mallet that we so often find chained to the side of the bin is one of the things that's fairly low on the list of priorities, in spite of the fact that having food for your animals is of critical importance. I can certainly understand why getting good feed inventory information is one of those things that sometimes slips through the cracks. From a feed mill's perspective, if you're a mill that is trying to plan a production schedule and producing hundreds of thousands of tons a year and attempting to do so efficiently, obviously your goal is to try and produce as much of the same types of products in as long of runs at the mill as you possibly can. But the reality is that you can only do that if you know in advance how much of that feed is going to be required. And this is, in fact, sort of the challenge. They need to know from all of the various farms that they're servicing what product types they need, how much is left inside of their bins, when they're going to need more. And when that information isn't traveling to the mill in a way that is timely or accurate, delivering an accurate estimation to the mill as to how much is inside is insanely difficult, much more difficult than I think even people who think they're good at this recognize. And so what ends up happening is the mill is always receiving late information from customers. And it doesn't even have to be from many customers. This is sort of one of those classic 90-10 problems where it's like, if 10% of your customers are late at delivering their feed inventory information, they're going to be responsible for 90% of your pain. And if even just 10% or lower of your customers is late, then you're going to constantly have to be reshuffling your production scheduling, doing unnecessary changeovers. And then, you know, as you said, if you only find out at 8 or 9 o'clock at night that you need feed and you need feed urgently, your mill isn't going to have the luxury of putting, say, 4 or 5 orders on a truck that can hold 40 tons and then sending that to 4 or 5 farms in the same area. Instead, they're going to be filling their truck 30% full and doing a dedicated trip to one farm, which causes the feed to cost far more for the mill to produce and transport. Really, the name of the game here is increased efficiency. If a mill can optimize the way that they're delivering by hitting more farms in the same area with fewer trips, they can travel fewer kilometers, and that ultimately reduces their transportation costs. If they can run their mill more consistently without doing as many changeovers, that results in higher production and more efficient production. So there's lots of things that mills are trying to achieve in terms of optimizing the supply chain. But most of those things ultimately depend upon having good data at the start of that sort of chain of information, which is the feed bin. How much is inside of the bin? When is it going to be empty? And that really is what Bin Sentry does well. Instead of requiring a farmer to go out there with their trusty mallet every single day and pound on the side and guess how much is there, Bin Sentry is looking inside of that bin 24 hours a day and is putting the estimated empty date on a dashboard for the mills to see at all times. And not only that, we're filtering through the information and we're making an assessment on what the most important pieces of information are so that the mill isn't searching for a needle in a haystack with regards to how to address their customers' demand. they're actually able to just see on the dashboard, hey, here's where I should be focusing my attention. Here are the decisions I should be making in order to begin to operate more efficiently.
All of us here at the Back 40 would like to thank our loyal listeners for making our podcast such a success. Starting in 2022, we will be changing from a weekly podcast to a bi-weekly podcast. Our first episode is on January the 11th, 2022. Join us every second week after that for new episodes of The Back 40. From all of us at Trillium Mutual Insurance and The Back 40, we hope that you have a safe and happy holidays, and we wish you all the best for the new year. Many years ago in a different career, I actually worked for a feed company, and it was a major issue. I know we had a customer that I dealt with that had a habit of running out of feed. We delivered 2 days a week into his area, but it was not uncommon for us to have a feed truck on his farm just about every day of the week. And ultimately, I ended up going in every Wednesday morning and estimating how much feed was in the tanks in order for us to be able to efficiently get that feed onto his farm. We had went from every day of the week to just delivering on Fridays. That's huge. The amount of money that you save by not running a truck, 30%, even though the farmer may lose out on his quantity discounts on that, that does not cover the costs of not being able to run a full truck down there.
You're exactly right. This is what we're trying to do for our customers. It's shocking to hear. There's all kinds of funny stories that come in from customers that we've talked to all around North America. But I think one of the funniest ones that we've heard for why farmers sometimes aren't able to get trustworthy information to their mills comes from Western Canada, where a particular feed mill recognized that some of their customers, all of a sudden, when the snow began to fly, stopped reporting in their feed levels. And so they kind of assumed maybe this is because it's cold outside and they don't want to check anymore. So they decided to look into it. And what they ultimately found when they looked into why they weren't getting feed information coming from these customers out west, they wanted to give feed orders. The problem was is that all of the rocks were frozen to the ground. And so they were like, rocks, the rocks are frozen to the ground. What the heck do you mean? Well, as it turns out, the method that they were using in Western Canada to determine how much product was inside of their bin was throwing rocks at the side of it. And so when the rocks were frozen to the ground, they had no way of pounding on the bins anymore to estimate the level. So by extension, all of a sudden feed level information stopped traveling to the mills. And so this, I think, just kind of highlights the importance and the benefit of being able to monitor feed inventory effectively with a sensor that just continues to operate. You don't have the risk associated with not knowing how much is inside of the bin. And when you don't have that lack of information anymore, and you're instead equipped with good information in advance, you can begin to reduce the miles traveled. You can begin to reduce the number of trips to your farms. And the cost savings are on the order of magnitude of like 7 times the cost of bin sentry on an annual basis for the average customer. So savings are substantial for those mills that are willing to take a shot on this.
And we talked about from a delivery standpoint, but it's more than just long runs of feed. If you're familiar with how a feed mill operates, there's also sequencing that needs to be done to make sure that certain ingredients don't get into other feed. And if you know that there's a 2-ton batch of feed that needs to be made for 3 days down the road and it fits right here in your sequencing, you can make it and set it in the corner of the warehouse rather than wait for the farmer to phone up. And then all of a sudden you're looking at, oh my gosh, we could have made that yesterday, but we missed our sequence.
That is what our software helps our customers to do, is sequence and plan their production schedule effectively.
Now, you mentioned there's a lot of different issues that you ran into trying to find sensors and trying to get the right sensors and ultimately building your own in order to come up with this. But there's some inherent problems with trying to estimate feed out of a bin. The ones that I can think of, we used to call bridging, and also feed hanging up on the side of a bin so that you don't necessarily get a good view of how much is in there, and feed auger runs empty, so you order some and then you find that there was actually 4 tons hung up on the side there. How have you been able to deal with some of those problems?
You know, the way we refer to it and the way we've heard it referred to around the market is as rat holing. And so this anomaly is basically when you get a giant hole forming in the center of the bin and feed piling up on the sidewalls. You can see the LiDAR sensor that we have today kind of shooting down the center of that hole and missing the feed on the sidewalls. So this was something that we sort of in the early days struggled with mightily, to be honest. We see that that generally tends to happen most in mash feeds or meal feeds. Pelleted feeds tend to flow very, very well. And so we don't see that same problem. But when you have this hole forming in the center of the bin and the LiDAR sensor shoots down the center of it, basically what happens is where you'd like to see really nice linear graphs as far as feed consumption goes on your dashboards, what you tend to see instead is sort of like this up and down pattern. There's still definitely a downwards trend, but the graph lines will kind of go up and down and up and down a little bit more, and it progressively goes lower. But any one reading is a little bit harder to trust because of the fact that you've got that rat holing happening. And functionally speaking, what's happening inside of the bin is the hole will form. And then once it gets deep enough, the feed on the sidewalls kind of collapses back into it, which then causes our LiDAR sensor to register a slightly higher reading and then a slightly lower reading, then higher and lower, and kind of alternate that way as the bin empties. Because we are dedicated to being as innovative a company as we possibly can be, we recognize this, I would say, within the first year and a half, 2 years of launching the company, is that we might run into these problems occasionally where you have high humidity mash feeds that cause this problem. We're literally weeks away from officially launching a next generation sensor, BinSentry 3D, we're calling it, which basically, it's LiDAR technology on steroids, really. Our 3D sensor technology has a 100 degree field of view, meaning it can see from side to side of the bin, 7/8 of the way up the bin. And in addition to having that wider field of view, we move from one single point of resolution inside of the bin to 9,000 individual points of resolution inside the bin. So instead of the data that we are getting from the bin being resolved down to one singular distance data point, now we have 9,000 unique distance data points that we can reassemble into a 3D map of what's going on inside of the bin. So if there are low points and there are high points, we see every single one of those high points and low points, and we can now identify and even warn users if they're getting rat holing happening inside of their bins. And of course, with this, we can now also very, very accurately determine the volume inside of the bin to address those types of challenges, rat holing, bridging inside of those harder to monitor bins, and of course, to deliver more accurate data in pursuit of making sure our customers are able to make the most intelligent decisions with regards to how much inventory to produce and where to take it.
You have a feed company of any size and you're monitoring all of their bins. That's got to create a tremendous amount of data. How do you manage that?
This is indeed one of the biggest challenges, I think, and lots of companies get this wrong, including BinSentry in our early days. One of the things that was true about BinSentry when we got our start, well, we worked with some really, really forward-thinking companies, those who would fall into this category that you might call early adopters. One thing that's true about early adopters is that they are indeed the most likely to start using your technology, but they also have this sort of critical flaw, which is that they're the least well-equipped to actually advise you on what a finished product should look like. And the reason for this is that early adopters love new technology. They know exactly how they're going to use it, and they're also very willing to fill in the gaps. So because they're creative, because they're forward-thinking, they're satisfied with a solution that's not yet fully complete because they know how to finish it off. This is actually exactly what we saw with our earliest customers. They were fantastic. They trusted BinSentry when very few other companies were willing to do that. But they also told us, listen, you give us a sensor that tells us how much is in the bin. Your job is done here. You've got a completed solution. And what we realized after, you know, 1 year of building the solution and then attempting to sell it to people is that that actually isn't true at all. Completed solution, when you're building sensors that are delivering data, doesn't just deliver data to someone's desk and then leave it there for them to figure out. Instead, what a completed Internet of Things solution looks like is the sensor which generates the data and the software behind it that enables customers to utilize that data and filter through that data effectively. But now you've just moved where the problem happens. So instead of the problem being someone on farm, you know, pounding on the side of the bin with the mallet, what you have instead is someone at a mill at a desk receiving hundreds or thousands of data points every single day, and now being tasked with the job of unraveling all of the data and trying to figure out how to use that data effectively to actually capture the opportunities for increased efficiency. I mean, case could be made that that challenge is way more difficult than the challenge that we solved on farm. We really just moved where the problem was. And so we frantically began the process of attempting to understand exactly what it was that needed to happen at mills to fix the processes that might benefit from having this information. If you can't help your customers to use the data effectively at the mill, then you really aren't solving the problem at all.
So you mentioned it only takes about 15 minutes to install one of these on a bin. Very simple.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get a good calibration on that bin? Is that something that's relatively easy, or does that take a cycle of the feed through in order for that to work?
Well, so believe it or not, there's almost no calibration required. If you install the sensor properly, it's ready to go. Another key piece of making these solutions work well is utilizing machine learning and artificial intelligence to begin to glean insights from that data to make the job of the human responsible for ultimately making decisions once they're equipped with that data easier. On a broiler farm, for instance, the feed consumption pattern on a broiler farm over the duration of the livestock's lifetime is one where it's slower to begin with. So the consumption rate in the bin to begin with might be, depending on how many birds you have, let's just say 1.5 tons of feed. And then in week number two, you're consuming 2 tons of feed per day on average from that bin. And it accelerates over time. As the birds get older, they begin to eat more. And so what you generally see happening is an acceleration in the consumption rate. Well, a human can look at that graph and see a steeper and steeper consumption trajectory week over week and make a determination that, oh, they're eating faster. And they're probably eating faster because this is a broiler farm. A machine can do that same thing. It can look at the data and it can recognize that, hey, because of how this chart is changing over time, we can recognize that the type of livestock in this barn is likely to be this type of animal. And then we can apply all kinds of other rules to that data as well, making assumptions about when that barn is likely to receive its last delivery. Because at that point in time, we want to send a notification to the mill. This is when it's the most critical that they're optimizing the amount of feed that they're delivering, because they only want to deliver 6 tons of finisher feed so that at the end of that crop, the bin is completely empty and they can start the next flock now without doing a haulback or a transfer of feed. The more information we're able to gather over time, the more intelligent our algorithms become and the more capable they become of making intelligent suggestions to the users at the mill about how to service that particular farm or bin.
And that's going to also give you feed intake curves for animals. If you can manage to correlate that to growth rates, you can end up with feed efficiency out of that. There's a whole lot of different things that you can do with this technology, just making sure the feed bin doesn't run out.
You're bang on. So, I mean, for the longest time with our LiDAR sensor, I think what we would have acknowledged is that LiDAR technology is great for a mill to solve some things, but it's not quite good enough for, say, a nutritionist who's trying to determine feed conversion rates or something like that. Our second generation sensor, on the other hand, is accurate enough that now all of a sudden we're getting interest from nutritionists as well, who are saying, holy smokes, like this opens up a world of possibility to like literally monitor in real time what the feed conversion is looking like if we change the formulation ever so slightly. And one of the other really cool things about our 3D sensor is that not only feed conversion becomes possible for these customers to start thinking about, but our 3D sensor enables our customers to literally look inside of the bin. So when we generate a reading from a 3D sensor, an actual photograph gets sent to our servers that then is displayed on the bin dashboard. And so if you ever want to look inside of your feed bin to see if the reading is actually showing accurately, go ahead. There's a photo right there for you. And so now, for really the first time ever, we are going to have like the world's largest database of feed flow information that we can correlate with ingredient changes, formulation changes to products.
Who manages the feed ordering on these farms now? Is that something that the farmer continues to control, or is that something that the farmer's lost control of and it automatically happens and they don't have to do a thing, or they don't get the opportunity to do anything about it?
It really depends on the customer right now. And again, just to be clear, our customers are the mills. So we would take this solution to the mills and they would adopt the technology across their farmers' farm. So they would generally offer it to their farmers as an additional service to make the farmer's life easier. So in some cases, you have producers that still want to have more control over their feed ordering, but ultimately it's still up to the farmer to decide the quantities and the timing of that order. In other cases, that Bin Sentry is able to deliver accurate and timely information, then what you find is many mills are able to eventually move to a point where they actually are considering automated ordering. We're now reaching the point that, you know, we can propose that order And that then goes to the farm manager or the farmer, and it goes to the person sitting at the order desk at the mill. And all that needs to happen is when that notification pops up on your screen, each party authorizes it for production. And sure enough, it now goes off to your ordering software as a created order in your system.
Fair to say that the biggest challenge on that is going to be to getting buy-in from the farmers?
Yeah, you know, I think probably. It's interesting because the one thing I will note is this, 35-year-old people that are taking over the farm from dad, they grew up with a cell phone in their pocket. They grew up expecting that technology will make their lives easier in so many different ways. And there's a certain level of inherent trust in those types of people in technology. In some cases, that's true. There's sort of a hesitancy to adopt these types of technologies, but more often than not, there's actually excitement.
Speaking from someone who's starting to get a little bit older, I climb bins to check to see what was in them because I couldn't be sure from the bottom. As I get older, I could see this being something that I'd really like because I don't climb well at the best of times. And as I get older, it gets more and more difficult to get my feet off the ground.
Who wants to be climbing bins? Let's be honest, especially in the cold Canadian winters, it's dangerous as well. So
what does the future hold for Bin Sentry? Where are you going to go next?
Oh, that is a great question. One of the things that's true about the feed industry is that, you know, automation has been adopted long ago inside of the mill itself. So where in the past, someone inside of the mill would have literally had to manually do batch weighing to produce an order of feed, now machines and automation have been adopted wide scale inside of the mill that have enabled them to produce 10 times more feed. And so there is a level of comfort with automation. Next step now is to automate the feed ordering process and all of these other manual processes inside of the mill that for many years, it just seemed like that would not be possible. And the core reason for why that's the case is that unless you have really good data coming in from those feed bins at the start of that automation process, there's just no hope that you'll be able to get anywhere close to that automation. So Bin Sentry is going to be launching two separate products in the next little while here, one of which we're calling Bin Sentry Horizons and one of which we're calling Bin Sentry Census. And Horizons is going to be a literal automation platform designed for feed mills so that we can begin to gather data from all across their organization with respect to all of the different decisions that are being made, including inventory, and then helping our customers to begin to automate those processes and utilize machine learning and artificial intelligence to make the best decisions possible. One of the things that we think is true is that if you have enough data available to you, oftentimes there's patterns hidden in that data that are really hard to spot by humans. But if you filter that through effective algorithms, you can pull out some really, really solid insights about where your opportunities exist inside of your mill. That's what we're going to be working on helping our customers to do is streamline the processes, the manual processes, the communication with their customers, the delivery confirmation, feed traceability, transportation routing, basically every part of a feed mill. We're going to be working on helping them to automate now that we have access to really good inventory information, which again is at the very start of that automation stream that I think the industry really needs to begin to build out and can because we've now got this information.
It's an idea that is long past its time, and certainly farmers and feed mills have been waiting for this for a very long time. If people want to find out more information, how do they go about doing that?
I would say their website is probably one of the best resources that people could go to kind of figure out a little bit more about us. I'm more than happy to chat with people about our product directly, or if you want, you can contact info@bincentry.com to get a little bit more information about what we do as well. But we're at all the industry trade shows out there, happy to talk about the solution that we're building, and always looking for partners to help us build that thing more effectively.
It's a fascinating topic. It's one that I know a lot of farmers will be very interested in hearing about. Be sure and join us next week for a very special episode of our podcast. My guest will be Tracy McDonald, President and CEO of Trillium Mutual Insurance, and we'll be looking at some of our favorite stories that we've covered this year on the Back 40. Be sure and join Tracy and I as we look at the best of 2021. That's next time on the Back 40. We've been talking to Randall Schwarzentruber from Bin Sentry. Randall, thanks very much for joining us on the Back 40.
Mike, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been fun.
You've been listening to the Back 40. brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance. Be sure to subscribe to The Back 40 wherever you find your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. The Back 40, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm Mike Brine. Until next time, take care and stay safe.